It is Morning in America. Welcome back. It's Wednesday. It's May 27th. A three-judge panel has upheld Judge Hannon's decision in telling Barack Obama that he was out of bounds with his executive actions or attempted executive actions on immigration. The injunction remains. The president can appeal to the full Fifth Circuit or to the Supreme Court, but looks like he will run out of time, if not constitutional principle. So that was a victory for those who opposed the president's executive order, people such as me. Now to our guest. It's been a long time, way too long. Brooke Rollins, president and CEO of the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Hello, Brooke.
Well, hello, Bill Bennett. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. How are all those little Aggies?
All the little Aggies are great. It is summertime in Fort Worth, Texas, so it is happy, happy, happy.
Good, 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 good. All right, let's talk.
And life is good.
Good, life is good. All right, let's talk environment. I don't know where. Let's start with the polar ice cap. Did you read that article? I had not read anywhere in the news that, in fact, the polar ice cap has grown over the last few years. Did you know that?
Well, you know, we kind of monitor that very closely in Texas because it's such a big, I guess, a tool in the left's arsenal to start hammering away on how bad things are and the polar ice caps are doing this and therefore we must pass all these regulations and we need the EPA to save us from ourselves. And so this was an incredible piece of news, but not surprising. I mean, it's just everything that the left has been saying all these years and especially on global warming and the ice caps and everything else. We're now finding, as we always knew, Bill, but you know, sort of those who don't follow these things closely are finding that so much of that was just incorrect, invalid, and an error, and completely not necessary. So, yeah, it's interesting news to be sure.
The science and the numbers, the facts, as I understand it, is that there was a period in the 70s when the ice cap shrunk some. And that was reported, indeed overreported, emphasized, banged on a drum, amplified. Al Gore predicted there would be no ice cap. And then after 79, or maybe the last dozen years, the ice cap has grown again and is now larger than it was back in the 70s when all of this panic took place. But that got hardly any reporting at all. This is pretty typical, right?
Well, it's absolutely typical. I mean, you look and see what the EPA and what this White House has been trying to do, whether it's on climate change or, you know, the new water rule that's coming out. It's just like you've done in healthcare. You know, it's an effort for the federal government to basically take over every aspect of our lives and using this faulty science. And there's a big part of the media that's complicit in that. And so we don't hear that, you know, other than the people listening to your radio and another small segment of Americans, most people don't fully understand, first of all, what's going on. Second of all, not to believe everything they hear in the mainstream media. And third, that, you know, we're in a crisis here. Unless we're able to stop this EPA and this White House, I think that the future of America is really in trouble.
Let me just get these facts right because I garbled it there. You had the 1979 polar ice cap, and that was the baseline measurement that was set as the normal baseline. Beginning in 2005, the polar ice modestly receded for several years. By 2012, polar sea ice had receded by approximately 10% from 79 measurements. A 10% decline is not very remarkable. But in late 2012, polar ice dramatically rebounded and quickly surpassed the post-1979 average. Ever since then, the polar ice caps have been at a greater average extent than the post-1979 mean. Now, in May 2015, this is from NASA, the updated NASA data show that polar sea ice is approximately 5% above the post-1979 average. That's not a lot to say for global warming. Okay.
Well, that's right, and we've actually gained some of it back, and really what the alarmists have focused on both the sea and the land ice, and that's sort of the 5% and 10% number you're talking about. But really, when you look at the total polar ice, you know, and I'm an ag major from Texas A&M, so I am certainly not a scientist, but I can read these things too. When you look at the total sea ice, you have much, much, much less that has receded. So, as usual, the alarmists and those on the left have focused on, you know, one tiny slice of data, and use that to, you know, promote great hysteria that the Earth is going to end and, unless we have the United States government come to your rescue. And that's, yeah, you know, that's a problem.
Ag science may not be ice science, but it's a lot closer to it than a philosophy major at Williams College. Yours truly here, so I'll defer to you. Let's talk about drought. One would think, if you look at a map of the United States, there'd be more drought in a state like Texas than California. But when you look at the map, not so. In fact, I mean, it's, you guys have had some horrible flooding lately. But why is it that California seems to have this drought? Is that God's fault? Whose fault is that?
Well, that just says that people who live in California should move to Texas, as they are doing in droves. Of course, that's more tax policy and free enterprise support than anything else. But no, I think it's interesting, and when you study the cycles of the Earth for hundreds, thousands of years, millions of years, you see these cycles. This is, we're not out of, you know, the norm here. And in Texas, we're just leaving a big drought we've had for the last couple of years. But when you look at these cycles, that's what you see. You see intense weather. You know, I know Texas best. You see years of great drought, and then you see years of great rain, and we're in the middle of a lot of rain right now. We've had some very unfortunate flooding for our friends in Houston and Austin, in Texas and other parts of the country in Oklahoma. But that's just part of the weather cycle, and now we're moving out of our drought cycle. So that's just part of the, you know, part of the history of the Earth.
But California policy has affected the drought situation, correct?
There's no question about that. You know, that's, it's like your friend and my hero Ronald Reagan would say, the scariest words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help." There is nothing out there that the government in California doesn't think it can help, and we see after now many years of a laboratory of democracy in California versus the laboratory of democracy in Texas, you see two different governments and their different approaches to how to govern. And you see what the result is, and there's no question that California has not done itself any favors.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to two other things I want to talk about with you, Brooke. Brooke Rollins is our guest. She's the president and CEO of the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Fine organization. You had a great event, didn't you, at the Alamo that I missed? I heard
we had a great event at the Alamo, and, you know, we love to talk about Texas history, but it's so similar to American history in that, you know, with no real opportunity for win and fighting against a great power. In Texas, it was Santa Anna and the Mexicans, and of course America, it was the British. But in the Alamo, you know, we lost every man, but just a few months later, we won it all against Santa Anna. And so we celebrated 25 years of TPPF, the Texas Public Policy Foundation's fight for liberty, but more importantly, celebrating freedom and what it takes, you know, Memorial Day just a couple days ago, what it takes to win and keep our country being free and Texas being the leader in that. So we miss you down there.
Right. Well, I get another chance, I hope.
Yes, you will.
Let's talk about the war against water and the war against Texas at the Environmental Protection Agency or the Obama administration. Go ahead.
Well, you know, first of all, I think probably most of your listeners, I know you've spent some time talking about this, understand or at least are familiar with the EPA's efforts under the Clean Power Plan, which, you know, is very similar to an issue that we're all a little more familiar with, and that's Obamacare. But the difference with Obamacare and the Clean Power Plan, which is the EPA's effort to basically take over electricity and the fossil fuels and basically energy production in our country. The difference, though, is that, you know, Obamacare was at least passed through Congress. The people that we elected, for right or for wrong, went and voted on a law that we all know to be incredibly destructive and very, very, very harmful to our healthcare system. The difference here, Bill, is that you have an Environmental Protection Agency and you have a White House that actually tried to do this under cap and trade, what, 5 or 6 years ago, could not get it through Congress, and now has decided unilaterally that they no longer need Congress and that they can just legislate through the White House and through our regulatory agencies. And you have a you know, talk about water, too, and what they're doing with a new water rule, but with the Clean Power Plan, you have an incredible effort, unlike anything our country has ever seen, from the White House, from the executive branch, to literally take over energy production in our country. And you look at what it's doing to Texas, you know, we have, gosh, we're not the best at, you know, the CO2 and the numbers, but that's because we're a very heavy energy state. But we're better than 18 other states. We're actually not the worst. But what EPA does to Texas specifically is requires us to reduce our CO2 by an amount greater than 27 states combined.
Hang on. Let's pause there. We'll come back with Brooke Rollins. You can call and ask questions. Nice music there. Brooke Rollins is with us, President and CEO of the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Brooke, I'm not clear. The new water authorities that the EPA is taking up, is this coincident with this special efforts that the EPA and the government administration is taking against Texas? Is this the same issue or two different issues?
Well, they're under the same umbrella of basically trying to, you know, take over a huge part of the country's economy and the water. And here's the most important thing, Bill.
Okay.
If you remember nothing from today, remember that it really isn't about water. It's not about protecting water quality. It's not about protecting important ecosystems. What they have done is they're redefining the water so that they can get to land. And they have made it so broad. This is just an example. If you have a ravine in the driest part of West Texas, and we all know it's very dry out in West Texas, if you have a ravine that every 2 years a rain comes through and for 2 hours you have water moving through that ravine every 2 years, then the federal government can now come in and take control of that land. It is unbelievable what they are trying to do under this Clean Water Act. You know, and again, we're all going to wake up sooner or later and realize this is happening. But basically, it's just another huge effort to take over private business and private land and to regulate it. If something like that happens, it's just crazy.
It is crazy. What's being done to fight it? Who's leading the fight? What should people do?
Well, again, it's another one of those, you know, the good news is with the Clean Power Plan, and again, while we talk about how bad the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare was, and it was, and how we tried to beat it in Congress, and then we tried to win through the U.S. Supreme Court, and of course the Supreme Court called it constitutional under some very,
yeah,
you know,
sure,
far-reaching reasons. But if you remember in that ruling also, they said that the good news was that the federal government could not coerce the states to expand their Medicaid program. It was really the first time that the Supreme Court in decades had said that the 10th Amendment is important and states can't be, you know, basically hamstrung by the federal government. So under the auspice of that ruling, we're now all fighting back. You know, on the Clean Power Plan, which I was just talking about with CO2, we have, I think, 32 states saying no, thank you. Under Obamacare, we have 22 states who are still saying no, thank you. And under this water plan, we will too. So I'm actually encouraged, Bill. I think that we have had a reawakening in our country of what's happening with the federal government, of why the states are so important. And this is why everyone who lives in out there and listening to you today and watching and being interested in what's happening with their state should let their state legislatures know, should let their governor know that it is not okay, whether it's the Clean Power Plan, whether it's Obamacare, whether it's now this water plan, to say no.
Hillary Clinton is the prohibitive favorite to win the Democrat nomination. Most polls, accurate or not, suggest she may be the next president. Is this an issue or these issues on which she has declared herself? Do you have a guess on where she is on these? Closer to Obama,
well,
or closer to Brooke Rollins?
I think we'll never know since she refuses to talk to the press. But
no time soon, right?
Yeah, exactly. But there's no question that this is, I believe, part of the bigger effort. You know, either you are, you believe in freedom and free enterprise, you believe in the way that Texas has gone the last decade or so, or you believe that a small group of elites in a far, far away place know how to plan your life and run your property and your business better than you. And we have a candidate and someone that I think there's no question goes that way. And then we have a whole bunch of candidates for the conservative side that go the other way. And I believe that especially after this last 6-7 years of Barack Obama in this White House, that we now have crystallized in this country which is the better way and which way to go. And this election is going to really allow us to talk about that, which is exciting.
I don't want to ask you about your favorites, but is there a candidate, a Republican or candidates who have shown some real grasp, expertise on these issues that you mentioned?
Absolutely, and I believe that there are, and you know, I've heard it said so many times that having so many good candidates, especially from out in the state, is such a good thing, because just what I talked about, we have these little laboratories of democracy where you see these executives who've done amazing work, whether it's Rick Perry in my state, who, full disclosure, I've known and loved for a long time, whether it's Scott Walker in Wisconsin or Bobby Jindal in Louisiana or even Jeb Bush in Florida. I mean, we have some really great candidates who have run states, who have shown how to cut taxes, who have shown how to lift up free enterprise.
Thank you.